This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Next Generation Oil Groups Sdn Bhd, or NGOG, is a Malaysian-based company that's developed a commercially viable process for the cultivation of microalgae and the extraction of carbon-neutral crude algae oil on an industrial scale. I'm speaking to Dato' Indra Mohamad Moiz, Executive Chairman, to find out more. Dato', tell us a little bit, how long has this been in the making?
Oh, interesting question, Frida. Actually, the founder of the company is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Peter Kim. And he's been at this for close to 22 years. You know, he was involved in the biodiesel business before, and, you know, from Korea and Japan. And he did some of his stuff also in the US, looking at ideas, etc. And right. Then he arrived in Malaysia, close to about seven, 8 years ago. And because what Peter decided was that for the biofuel industry, the key thing was to be able to control the feedstock, to the biomass, to find the biomass for what's going to feed the refineries. And when he thought, you know, palm oil is difficult to get, rapeseed, soybean, et cetera, because those already committed and, you know, not easy to get into it. So he found that algae was a very interesting source to try to cultivate, extract, and, you know, to get the crude algae oil out of it. So he did a lot of research on it. So he saw that many people have been doing this for a long time and many challenges. But the main challenge is not that people cannot grow algae. It's not that people cannot extract the oil. It's that they can't do it at a price point that makes it commercially viable. Because algae is a very old, it's been there since the beginning of time. You know, everyone knows that. And all fossil fuel comes from algae.
Right.
Hundreds and thousands and millions of years fossilized. So whatever you get out from the ground, they pump all the fossil fuel out of the ground, crude, petrol, that we know, all comes from algae in the ground. So man-made extraction of algae started around about the 1930s. And one of the most famous companies to be doing it is ExxonMobil. And they've spent huge amounts of money, you know, researching $600 to $800 million and many other companies. It's there are many names that you can quote that have been doing it until today. But no one has been able to break through the price point to make it the cost of production so that it can become commercially viable. So Peter, God bless him. I mean, you know, God opened the door for him and showed him the way. And he found a solution to this. And through his patented AMAP technology, we are able to actually cultivate, harvest the algae, extract the oil at a price point that makes it very commercially viable for everybody. So, you know, he sort of, over the past 7 years, sort of perfected that system in Malaysia. Why Malaysia? Because algae needs sun. So the equatorial belt is one of the best places to be. You know, but with the way the climate, the weather patterns are changing, you know, it's supposed to be sun, it rains, but those are challenges, but we need a lot of sun. So he felt, number one, Malaysia had, it being an equatorial climate, had the sun. And also we had the philosophy of plantation business because he wanted to do it on a large scale, thousands and thousands of acres. So Malaysia had the background and the support industry and the people who understood large scale plantation business. So for those two reasons, he picked Malaysia, and that's why we're all here today talking to you.
Okay, so it's very interesting because I was reading about this, and maybe you can, what you just explained, is that the process called carbon sequestration? Is that what you just explained?
Okay, let me get into that. The carbon sequestration is a very interesting terminology. In essence, it really means to capture carbon and, you know, put it somewhere and close it, you know, so it doesn't come out again into the atmosphere. That's the real essence of it. But many people use it loosely. In our system, right? Algae, one of the biggest food that algae needs to eat to grow is carbon dioxide. So algae absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide to grow. So it is a natural carbon sink. That's another terminology I'm introducing, carbon sink.
Okay, okay.
We can say it sequesters. Algae sequesters carbon dioxide. But to say it is a carbon sequestration project means that at the entire chain of it, until the end, the carbon dioxide never comes out again. But here we absorb the carbon dioxide for the algae to eat, and that's taken in. And then we extract the oil, and the oil is crude algae oil, and that is sent to the oil majors who send it to their refineries to refine into biodiesel, biogasoline, biojet fuel, et cetera, et cetera. And with that biofuel, then it becomes biofuel. And this is sent to their customers, and when the customers burn it in the cars, in the aeroplanes, in the engines, that emits carbon dioxide and other gases, but on a very, very much reduced scale, maybe 10-20% of what fossil fuel does, terminology that you use. But for our listeners to understand, algae is a huge carbon sink project. It eats carbon dioxide. In fact, just very quickly, I say to you, algae eats 1 to 3 times its body weight in carbon dioxide. So, for example, for every, because our end product is a crude algae oil. So for every ton of crude algae oil that we produce, we absorb from the atmosphere about 2 tons of carbon dioxide. So if you've read recently, Frida, you know, the people are talking, but it's not just enough nowadays. Scientists are saying it's not enough, no longer enough to just stop emitting greenhouse gases. Mm. We need to find a way to absorb greenhouse gases that's already in the atmosphere. So that's what algae does. So our project does two things. It takes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere on a very aggressive scale. And our end product is a carbon neutral fuel source.
And so the microalgae that's being used, is that naturally native to Malaysia?
Yes. Algae is all over the world. I mean, you know, when you go into the sea, you see it. And so we've just used a local strain.
Right. Now, your current plant in Kuantan is the world's largest microalgae cultivation farm and crude algae oil extraction facility in the world, and will be fully operational by end of Q2, producing about 50 tons per day of crude algae oil. So how is the progress for that? Are we looking at the local markets or exporting?
We will, God willing, we'll be operational by beginning of third quarter this year. We're well there, so we'll be operational around the third quarter of this year. And when we say the world's largest, actually, because there are not many, as I said earlier on, because they've not broken through the cost barrier.
Right.
So they're doing on a small scale, you know. So because we have 45 acres of land. You know, we've got about 2,000 tanks. We're going to upscale that to 18,000 tanks down the road. We've got our extraction facility that's got a capacity of about 60, potentially to 100 tons a day capacity. So that's already big compared to what's around the world.
Right. Okay. Now, this interesting agreement that you've signed with Bauxite Holdings, can you share a little bit more about that?
Sure. I mean, Bauxite Holdings is an exceptionally supportive partner for us. Dr. Sri Shazali and his deputy CEO, Izzadin, have been very supportive together with the entire team. And they were the first to come together with us and support us with land that we needed. So we signed an agreement with them for 1,000 acres in the plantation in Johor with an option for another 8,000 acres. And also further to that, they wanted to support us to develop. I had an idea, the board had an idea, that we wanted to involve as many people as possible in this venture. Because we thought that if we're doing this for a commercial reason, but we're also doing it to help, the problems that we're facing with the climate crisis. And we thought, why don't we democratize it and have more people getting involved in it? So we said, how do we do that? So we said, there's so many things that people can build and get involved, the tank business, our extraction business, et cetera, et cetera. It's a huge space for people to come in. So we have two things that we're looking at. Number one is a strange sort of contracting. So we give out our tanks as an example. So we take one tank, which represents the tank farm, the entire process. And we say, look, why don't you come in and build the tank farms for us? So we give out a contract for that. And then it's supported. So we give a fixed price and with a profit margin on for everybody. And we give it on a vendor scale. So people can come in, you know, small entrepreneurs, individuals who say, I'd like to participate. And there are the civil works and there are also the extraction facilities, et cetera, that we can do for small and medium scale industries that we can get involved in. So the scope is big because for 1,000 acres, our model is based on 1,000 acres. Our long-term plan, vision that we have going forward is for 38,000 acres by the year 2032. Just to give you an idea of the size, for 38,000 acres, we will require close to $38 billion as investments to develop that. It's very expensive. It's not easy to do. But with that, we are going to do about 15 million tanks because for every 1 acre, Frida, we need 400 tanks. We call it tank farms. Huh? We need 400 of those. So for 38,000 acres, it's about 15 million tanks. So that's a huge number that we can contract it out to people so they can participate. Other than that, we also are giving out we are coming out with a scheme where people can invest. Because if everyone wants to help, what can I do to help reduce my carbon footprint? What can I help to fight climate crisis? So what do we say? Look, if we have a tank farm, would you like to invest in it? So we've placed a value of about $2,500 per tank farm. And you know, we are giving incentives to people. We're sharing the oil revenue, our crude oil revenue for that. So we're giving about 700 to 900 metric tons a year sharing with the investor. If it takes 1,000 tanks, if it takes 500 tanks, we do half of that, about 450 metric tons. Takes 100 tanks, we give about 90 metric tons. And the current price of our crude algal oil is about $1,170 per ton. So we are giving this, we're saying for 2,500 per tank farm, if we take 1,000, that's 2.5 million. It's a 30-year deal. And, so people can invest. They can come in and they can say, okay, I've got for 30 years, I invest in the farm, I do my part to reduce the carbon footprint because algae eats up carbon dioxide. And I also have a commercial return for myself. And I produce an end product, crude algae oil, which is carbon neutral, which is going to improve, which people can use in the cars, they can use in the planes. You know, you don't have to develop a new car. You don't have to create a new plane. You can use the same thing, crude algae oil, to mix with fossil fuel or even down the road, 100% replace fossil fuel. Because remember, all fossil fuel comes from algae.
Hmm. Okay. So this is the Algae Tank Farm Vendor Development Program, right?
Yes.
So I can say, Dato, I've got an acre. Can I work with you?
Not in that way, Frida. What we do, we have to get the land because it has to be integrated. So what we say is, listen, come into our area. And if you want just to get a contract, okay, come in and register, sign up under the Bausted Vendor Development Program. And then, hopefully you qualify for that and you can supply some stuff for us or do some contract manufacturing for us for the tanks. Or if you say, look, I want to invest. I've got a bit of money. So I've got maybe 10 friends, I want to buy one tank. Okay. So it's we're making it, we're democratizing it. So more people get themselves involved in this.
Right. So I know you have crude algae oil, but there's also dry algae cake.
Yes.
What does that do?
Well, when you take the algae and then you extract the oil out from algae, what is left is the dry algae cake. And dry algae cake has a lot of uses. It's high in protein and it's got also carbohydrates in there. And it can be used for animal feed and fish feed. And then for the pulp and paper industry, also, I mean, there are some cosmetic use and all that, but it can be used for biomass for electricity generating for power plants, for green energy production.
Right, okay. I'm here with Dato' Indra Mohamed Moiz, Executive Chairman of NGOG. Stay tuned, Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9.
The Business Station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you're listening to Open for Business, and I'm here with Dato Indra Mohamad Mois, Executive Chairman of Next Generation Oil Group, or NGONG, which is a Malaysian-based company that has developed a commercially viable process for the cultivation of microalgae and the extraction of carbon-neutral crude algae oil on an industrial scale. I know another recognition that you've received is the International Sustainability and Carbon Certification, ISCC. And so you are currently the only algae-certified cultivation company in the world. So what does this certification mean for the organization?
If you don't mind, I'd like Melvin to answer that, because he is the guy who's been and his team been doing all of the work for the ISCC and our UNGC and also the US certification. So Melvin, if you don't mind,
yes. So basically, the ISCC is a body that governs the classification of renewable and sustainable biofeedstock. So that what that does, it traces back the accountability of the feed of the biofeedstock producer, so that the end of takers, which are the oil majors themselves, have a trace accountability that the biofeedstock that is cultivated are within the regulations and stipulations of what is a renewable and sustainable feedstock. That actually, and that would cover a wide range of items, including labor, where it's cultivated. I mean, are you felling down virgin forests to plant up a new bio feedstock? You know, and that thus destroying nature in the process, right? So this is actually a trace accountability, so that your off-takers are then protected and allows them to tap into the various incentives and subsidies that their regions allow for.
Okay. A question about the maintenance of these farms, right? Is it highly automated, or does it require a lot of manual labor?
You know, we have decided that we want to give as much employment as we can, Frida. And for every 1,000 acres, we will be employing between 2,000 to 4,000 people. And so we're going to train. So we're working closely with Bausted for this, especially because we're looking towards their veterans. So we will be training them, trying to give jobs for them. So we are calling them algae technopreneurs, because we're teaching them how to maintain the tank, how to clean the tank, how to monitor the algae growth, et cetera, and how to put the nutrients and all the stuff that we have to put inside there. And then also to monitor how the harvesting is done. So we're trying to get as much employment as we can, especially for Malaysia. So it's going to be high paying jobs. The range is between just under 2,000 to 4,000 ringgit per month. You know, so if this project is blessed with success, We have this sincere desire to try to help Malaysians and Malaysia as well to really do something great out of this. Because it's if it helps the climate, let's help everybody along the way.
Right. Is it commercially viable though? Doesn't it make sense where it can be automated? Why can't we just automate it?
There's certain things that we can automate. I mean, the harvesting will be automated, of course. I think you've seen some of the diagrams and all that. When the harvester goes in and picks up the algae, that will be done. But you still need eyes on it to make sure that it's all done correctly and all of that. And the second thing is when you go to the extraction facility, that's all automated.
Okay, I also read that there was a signing with Heritage Horizon / Sonata Capital for a dual strategy funding initiative. How does this work?
Well, we've appointed Heritage Horizon and Sonata Capital to raise some funding for us. So that's ongoing. It's basically for them to raise some funding, and we have different deal structures for them, whether the investors come in on a production sharing basis, or they come in on a straight yield basis. And some of them are still looking at equity investments. So that's still an ongoing process. So they're out there talking to different funds And we hope that within the third quarter of this year, we will have some serious developments from that.
Right. And are you looking for more investors?
Absolutely. As I said, I mean, you know, it's huge investments. It's if we do, why 38,000 acres, Frida? Right. Our development plans are quite simple. We start with what we have in Kuantan, and then we're going to go ahead with 500 acres that we have up north in Perlis and Kedah. We've got to sign some lease agreements with the state government of Perlis and Kedah. So we've got 500 acres we're going to start with in Perlis. Other than what we have with Bausted in Johor. And we'll start with 500 acres third quarter of next year. Then we will have 3,000 acres, hopefully operational, by the beginning of 2025. And after that, we ramp it up to 38,000 acres by 2032. Now, to do all of that, we need a lot of funding. So we are opening out to, for example, as I said, you know, if people want to say, I want to do my part with to help reduce carbon footprint, how can I do it? Mm-hmm. Okay, come and invest in the tank farm. Or some people say, I like this, I want to do a production sharing. A lot of people are talking to us about production. What does that mean? That means someone comes in, I pay for the capex, and I take a percentage of your oil proceeds. And a lot of the oil majors who want to ensure that they have the feedstock, because they're going to invest in refineries. And the key challenge to all these people who've got biorefineries is, do I have the feedstock? You know, can I get the feedstock to run my biofuel refinery? So they want to make sure that we are in production so that we can get. And our algae is oil is of very high quality, and it's really very suitable for sustainable aviation fuel for aeroplanes, you know. So that's something that everyone's very excited with. So people are coming to talk to us about saying, look, I want to invest, you know, I'll fund the capex, but I want the oil. So they take a portion of it. My portion, I can still sell to them. And others are coming in to say, look, I'd like to take an equity on this because I think your company is going to grow. You know, I think this huge value potential, the value proposition is very exciting and interesting. So it's early days, Frida. You know,
it's exciting.
It is exciting. I think the journey is an amazing journey.
Okay. Do you see other, you know, countries doing this within, you know, the hot areas?
I don't have I have my patent. I have my system. I have my patented system, my AMAP technology. I have my secret recipes, etc. But I think over time, we just have the first mover advantage. Over time, others are going to come in. But the market is huge. It's a huge market out there. You know, at the end of the day, Frida, people are scared, you know, living with these extreme weather conditions. Yeah. And they're thinking, what's going to happen? And you read the newspapers every day, it's doom and gloom stories. So everyone wants to say, what can I do? So, you know, companies are being pressured by the shareholders. The boards are being, if you read all the news about, you know, the oil majors, you know, boards are changing. Shareholders are pressuring them. They're all talking about, you know, renewable fuel and reducing their carbon footprint. So it's real. So it has to happen. So the pressure from people are forcing governments, are forcing companies, are forcing countries to address this. So what we have is what we are saying is we're not a theoretical proposition. We have assets on the ground. We have boots on the ground. We're ready to move. And so, you know, we've got this first move advantage and you know, inshallah, God willing, we will be in operation this year. And I do think that with the first move advantage, we've got maybe a couple of years under our belt, but others will come in, you know, and there's space for a lot of other people to come in all over the world.
Right.
And we are also thinking of not just being in Malaysia, but to expand overseas as well. Because we're talking to people and they want to do that.
Right. And it's, of course, an exciting 10 years that we can look forward to. Maybe just a final question, Dato'. Why are you so personally interested in this? I know you mentioned this roughly, but I think there is also something deeper that's why you're doing this.
Frida, you know, there's two answers to this question. One's a very silly answer, but I'll share it with you anyway. And that is that... you know, from a very young age, when I was at university and studying, I said I would have loved to be in the room when Bill Gates had founded Microsoft, and I missed that opportunity. So here, when I met Peter Kim and I heard what he wanted to do, I said, wow, maybe this is that opportunity, you know? So, and I thought, wow, if we can really do this and we can, you know, introduce a new carbon neutral commodity to the world, and wouldn't it be great for Malaysia to do it? I mean, I'm so tired of people bashing Malaysia, you know, I mean, because of our palm oil, they talk about, you know, this and that. So I would love for Malaysia to say, hold on a second, you're asking us to stop cutting our trees and killing the timber industry, which I understand about our palm oil and all of that. Hey, you're all talking and you're making so much noise, you know, the Western countries, right. And you're the biggest polluters, but you're asking us to do the work. So now while you're talking and complaining and making all the noise, here's Malaysia saying, all right, I've got a solution. And my solution is I'm going to introduce a new carbon neutral commodity, which is crude algae oil. And I'm going to do algae cultivation. I'm going to reduce the carbon footprint. And by 2032, Malaysia could be net zero carbon. So we're doing something. We're not just talking. So why don't the rest of the world follow suit and take example from Malaysia, a very positive example. I would love to be able to contribute and to help to do that.
Right. Thanks for your time, Dato' Indra Mohamed Moiz from the Next Generation Oil Group. You've been listening to Open for Business. My name is Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.